January 7, 2021. It's a lot from Pedro's show. for Pedro Show. Happy Thursday. Started the show off with In a Sentimental Mood, John Coltrane. And then The Live and Shave in L.A. Only commercial lighting for Brackage. And, Brother Matt at the Love Grotto a couple miles south, Pleasure Point. He's quitting quarantino mode. But I'm not totally man alone because of those software engineers in Estonia with their Skype invention. I got Mr. Tom Smith. Welcome aboard, Tom.
Mr. Watt.
And you're in Germany? You're in Hanover?
I'm in Hanover. You've played here before, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, in the old days, when you did a Europe tour, half of it was in this place called West Germany.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
Right. And so.
Did you play bad here with Minutemen? Was it the place called Bad?
Minutemen was opening for Black Flag. That was the first time we went to Europe.
That was that big-ass tour, like 60 shows or something, is that right?
Well, part of it was in Europe, part of it was the United States, yeah. And, they toured like that all the time.
They would
do 100-gig tours, four-month tours.
Yeah. I saw Black Flag twice, and I think I saw you guys with them at the 930 Club in January of 85. That was an amazing fucking
show. So that's still F Street, yeah.
That was a great one, but I saw Black Flag in Adel, Georgia. That's the town that me and Don Fleming and some other people who've become kind of well-known, strangely enough, because it's a village of like 4,000 people. At least it was then, you know. But they were just in the parking lot of this gas station, and I was leaving the Dairy Queen, and there they were. I mean, I was visiting my family, my parents at the time. That's why I was there, because I was living in Atlanta or Athens or Washington. I was moving all over the place with music, you know. But I saw them in the parking lot, and they were listening to ZZ Top, and I was like, what the fuck are you guys doing here? They're saying, we're between Tallahassee and Atlanta, just stopping off here in this little town. I said, well, I love you guys. You're amazing. And they go, great. Why don't you come to the show tonight in Atlanta? And I was like, well, you know, I'd love to, but I had other shit to do. But,
It was probably the 688 Club.
Yeah, the 688 Club, yeah.
Right.
And they used to have the set list of Iggy's 1980.
Oh, I know that. Painted right on the bulkhead.
Right. That's right.
And Mike, Minutemen played there. Mike, the singer of R.E.M., we didn't know who they were or anything, but he interviewed us before our gig there and for some fanzine.
Oh, shit.
With the singer of 10,000 Maniacs.
Oh, my God.
We had no idea, you know. We didn't know about those bands until, well, God. It ends up being our last tour. Let's talk about Adele, though, Tom. What's your earliest musical recollection, please?
My family were working class. My dad liked country music, honky-tonk. And my mom liked country gospel, the sort of the white version. It's like barbershop quartet harmonies, but with lots of rollicking piano. Groups like the Happy Goodman Family, the Florida Boys, stuff like that. That's what was in the house. But I remember listening to, I was in the backseat of my uncle's caddy. He was more well off because he was a veterinarian. And we were in the backseat with his wife, my aunt, my auntie, and my mom and dad. My sister wasn't there, but we'd come back from someplace. And, in the old days, you would get that radio interference, the radio station, the ionization that would bounce off the cloud and come down to where you were. And you could hear a radio station in Chicago or Philadelphia or something, if you were on the East Coast. And it was a song from Muddy Waters. And I was five or six, but I was like, what the fuck is that?
Because you weren't hearing that in the house.
I wasn't hearing that at the house at all. That's right. And it just struck me as being, I didn't have the words to describe it at the time, of course, but I just felt something very deep when I heard it,
Yeah, and it stuck with you in the memory.
That's a very poignant early memory,
Now, in the pad, was there instruments, musical instruments?
Yeah, there was a piano. And they bought it for my sister because she fancied herself as a musician. She didn't really follow up, but strangely enough, my mom played some and my dad played some. So I guess they really wanted to thrust that upon her. But, of course, I was the guy who ended up being the musician. But, we had a piano in the house, sure.
Did you jump on that piano?
Mm. Always just to smash the keys and
fuck with. So no lessons. You don't have a story of a nightmare piano teacher.
No, but my sister, was very frustrated by her teacher. And, you know, Pat, that's her name, Patricia, she might be able to play something, but I don't really recall her going back to it very often.
And what about school? Were you in the marching band or the choir or shit like that?
I was in the church choir. I was in the marching band up until the, I guess, the 10th grade. But my experience in marching band led me to being in my first group when I was 14, I guess. I was the only white guy in the drum line, you know. And there was another guy, and he was sort of a fancy, stick-up-his-ass kind of guy. I could do the fastest paradiddles, that kind of shit. You know? But I could do really good accents because already I was listening to, at that time, like, you know, what was it, 72 or something. I was already into all kinds of music, and I really liked Ginger Baker's accents. I liked, you know, Funkadelic already. I had all that stuff in my head. And I would just do the accents off my drums, and they liked that because I was kind of cutting against the grain of the really insipid fucking music that we had to play in the marching band.
You know about Elvin Jones' little doc? It's like half hour long, called A Different Drummer.
Yeah, that's a great fucking doc.
He says polyrhythm. Poly meaning many, rhythm meaning rhythm. So you were part of the polyrhythm there, Tom.
Those guys picked up on that. Yeah. Thomas and Marion and Marlon, those guys were great. And they asked me to join their band, you know.
Okay.
And my father was a product of his time and would not have been happy. So I didn't tell them. I just did it. You know, we practiced a few times. And then I played timbales in their group. And for fuck's sake, I can't remember the name of the group, but it was sort of au courant at the time. It was a name in Swahili, and I forget the name now. And before Marlon died, he told me, and I wrote it down in the notebook, but I don't have it with me, so I can't remember the name of the group. But we did the first gig at a place called the Ebony Club in Adel. That's how the locals say it, Adel, you know.
Adel.
And it was a black club, you know. And sure. We played a couple of songs. It was on the, it was post-segregation, of course, but it was still on the wrong side of the tracks in terms of, you know, the white people's attitudes. We played a couple of songs, and a young girl, but she seemed like 30 to me, but she was probably 16, you know. She brought a Budweiser in a can to me and kissed the lobe of my ear, and I was fucking hooked for life, you know.
You know, the stereotype and stuff, but here in Pedro, I came here when I was 9 from Virginia, but there was a black club. It was called Leo's. My dream was always to one day want to go in there and just see what it was about, you know? And they closed right before I became of age.
Oh, man. You know, I'm kind of a strange cat because I have so many different influences, and a lot of it is funk and soul and all kinds of dance music. I take no shame. I love that shit when it's really good, of course. And I used to go to these black discos in South Georgia, like in Pelham and Cairo and all these shitty little towns, but there would always be a really cool black club, and you would know about it because of this radio station, WJIZ, Jizz, right, out of Albany, which was the best fucking radio station. And I used their promos in some of my old band Boat Of from the early 80s, you know. And that was kind of like our prelude. I would play like a advertisement for one of the DJs night at some godforsaken little disco. But I would go to those places, and I remember so clearly, I was like 17. I was the only white person in there. I just went solo, you know, because none of my friends wanted to go. Maybe I didn't even tell my friends, you know, and Don was someplace else, and maybe not that much into that kind of music. And I was dancing, and nobody gave a shit. Everyone was really friendly. The bartenders were friendly. The girls said hi. No, I wasn't like some alien, but some guy came over, an older guy, maybe 25, and he said, "My man, you're doing it all wrong. You're moving around way too fucking much. You need to pour yourself in. Pull yourself in. Don't do the work. Let the ladies do the work." That's what he said.
I want to play this prod you got, NH Meth.
Yeah. metallic green grasshoppers chew. Metallic green grasshoppers chew. True. Guttering mash this tiny life it flutters. Roll between thumb and forefinger while mused and mulled over. Ferrous incandescence of refracted light from the surface sheen. This seems like a theory of mighty grasshopper in metallic greens. Interesting my long struggles and wrapped by the bubbles of exotic ancient thought. By the air its skin breathes, by the air its skin breathes. Severed nephratic flips, electricity crisp, it pops a moment of hovering, riding colors of chameleon skins. It is not entirely a million nor remotely machine-like by design, but clever exercise and misdirection. Secret and sublime, secret and sublime. Effortless and you cabling through, and for all this carcass to heave and leave brightly in the various futures past. Unerringly carving muscle into speeding chips of thought, but nary a quiver of sweaty reflex, only a brave bristled resolve. Escape the slavery, denture, fist unlocks myriad tomorrows. It ravels the spawn into crawling multitudes. And then it throws its own tarot. Yes, it throws its own tarot. It takes the infinite uncertainty and keenly zeroes in without ever remotely having the faintest care. Slightest sentence, no glimmer, partial ego. No, the note of court merely saw the bomb. And then it's chemical fire, a cry of prism, a spasm, a kaleidoscopy world overhead. Ooh, the skittering is good. The skittering is good. The skittering is good.
Well, I could have been a doctor or a lawyer, playing golf with my rich friends at the club. But I had to be more stupid. Why did I have to be? Thank you.
Beats of America.
Are you being ordered?
60 seconds and counting.
Oversimplified the environment, creating whole systems of life dependent on his care, destroying whole systems of life instead of his work. His industry consumed irreplaceable fuels and produced indestructible waste.
Remember all this wonderful music.
His inventions repaired.
Remember all this wonderful
exhaled.
Remember all this wonderful music.
Remember all this wonderful music. He linked his furnaces and markets, his points of baking and making, with paths of steel and concrete, sealing the green earth with asphalt. Where the paths met, he raised cities, and the cities ate of the disappearing land. Here he multiplied without cease, and his possessions multiplied, and he began to suffocate. He began to look for some way out of the bubble he had built around himself.
Chronic, obsessive, compulsive personality. Possibly paranoid. His subject is forgotten as part of a whole. He has forgotten he shares this planet with billions of other
people. Remember all this wonderful music. 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 These great songs and genetic interests.
Thank you. To touch the nails. time.
Out for Pedro show. That started that chunk of music off with Rough Against the Milk Fed from NH Meth. And Agnes Stead from Austin after that. Metallic Green Grasshoppers, Choo Choo. Paul Leary's got a new record, Butthole Surfer Guitar Man.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's got here's the single from it called Born Stupid. Transidio after that, Your Text Fragment. I Got It, Working Mix from Karen Cooper Complex. Boma's Prendin with Mnemonic Device. Hands Rotten with Loopy Doo. And To Live and Shave in L.A., Longer Dissolves. You know, that movie, it starts off with a guy bungee jumping on a bridge. Well, kind of live and die, right?
Oh, yeah, To Live and Die, yeah.
That's Pedro. That's,
yeah.
No, but that's, well, we're part of Los Angeles. But that bridge is Vincent Thomas Bridge between San Pedro and Terminal Island. Mr. Friedkin did that movie, right?
I really love that William Friedkin movie a lot. But yeah. I first saw the name To Live and Shave in L.A. in 1988. And it's a 1986 a porno directed by Ron Jeremy, who's recently, of course, been disgraced with all these allegations, rape and stupid-ass behavior toward women. And but I saw the box, and it was, like, so fucking stupid. It was, like, foam and a razor, you know, and it was a parody of, purportedly a parody of To Live and Die in L.A. And I just saw it, and I thought, this is the perfect name. If you like high and low, you know, this is the ideal name. So for my next project, which was 2 years later, when To Live and Shave in L.A. started in 1990, at least when I started writing the demos for it, right, that was the name I chose because of the stupid Jeremy parody, and it's a fucking disgracefully stupid movie, you know. And as porn, it's kind of horrific because it's not very sexy, but I loved the name very much. It was perfect encapsulation of what I was trying to do, you know. I wanted a hysterical kind of sound, but I also wanted it to be very literate, you know. And I sort of mix that high and low. I thought that would be a great name. And we've been going since 1990, so, yeah, it's worked out pretty well.
Yeah. I want to back up a little bit because you said you were playing timbales in that first band. When did you get when did you get your first trap set?
That's a great question. I think my parents did relent and get me a trap set, but it was really kind of like a junior. It was like maybe 12 or 13. It was not very big, and I thought I was going to be Ginger Baker. You know, I was ridiculously stupid and I thought I could play like him. I just like the way he played it. But I probably was more able to play like Corky Lang than
Corky Lang, the Mountain, right?
Baker,
huh? Corky Lang was from Mountain.
Yeah, he was beating the shit out of those drums, you know.
Yeah.
I think
another guy like him was the dude in Vanilla Fudge, right?
A bit like Carmen Appice.
Man, did he pound hard?
Pounded really hard, you know. And in the days before punk and before everything changed, I mean, everything was pretty, you know, there was slim pickings out there. So for guys like me and Don, we really went toward, like, you know, art rock and glam, and because that was the only exciting shit before everything changed, you know.
Me and D. Boone's first gig was the T-Rex.
That's right.
And I think the drummer man, Will Legend's the only one left.
Yeah, he's the only one left. You know, I should back up. You asked me about the timbales and the trap set.
Yeah.
I got the trap set around the age of 12 or 13 or whatever it was, you know, and I outgrew it pretty quickly. But I realized that I was not comfortable playing a drum kit, but I was really comfortable playing it standing up, which led me to then be more skillful with the timbales and accents and things, which led me to be drafted into this band, you know.
Did you get into Tito Puente?
You know what? I didn't know Tito Puente at all at the time. But later, of course, yeah, I got some of those records. It's quite wonderful, of course. You know?
Yeah, pretty. And then, I guess in rock and roll, Carlos Santana brought that in.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I like Santana's early stuff. Michael Shreve was great. I didn't like his Automatic Man group so much, not to diminish him, because I think he was a really tremendously good drummer. But I was so focused on percussion, you know. And I mean, you tell me what you want to know, man. I'll tell you anything you need to know. I mean, we can take the timeline. We can talk about it. We can bounce around. Whatever you want to do, Mike. It's okay. I'm just pleased as hell to talk to you.
Well, it's a Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions and no wrong answers.
That's right.
Okay. There was a guy in Rare Earth that only played cowbell. Can you imagine beating on that motherfucker for a couple hours? Oh, man, his hands must have been like mittens.
I would fucking kill myself, man.
Okay, awesome. Tell me about your first gig.
Yeah, I really don't remember much of it. I just remember being there with the guys, and they were looking at me like, is this white motherfucker going to be able to pull this shit off? And the audience was screaming after a couple of songs, and then the young girl came up and kissed my ear and gave me a beer, and I had never even had a beer before in my life, you know. And that was very exciting. And we did another show, I think, and that was, then my parents got wind of it, and they were like, you, beer, 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 and that was the end of it, you know.
Scissors, yeah. But so it was a success. Now, were you scared?
I had no idea to be scared. I was just so excited. I was so happy to be doing it.
Because I still get scared at gigs.
Oh, dude, I get very nervous before shows. I still do, you know. And I think you've done far more than I have, even though we've been around for about the same amount of time. You're born in 57, right?
That's like right.
I'm April 56, so I'm a little bit older. But I think you've toured a lot more than I have, even though I've toured around the world like you have. But I think you've really eclipsed me many times. Not that it's a comedy.
If you call a tour
I still
more,
get fucking nervous, you know. I still get nervous.
If you call a tour more than a month, I've done 67 of them.
That's insane.
So only 67 more. But yeah, I still get scared before. Because man, you don't want to blow clams. You know, people work all week to come see you play, and then you got to choke and shit.
No, you can't do that. But
I know, but it's always that fear, scaredness. Right. You know.
That's right. It's important to remember what it's like. And one of the things that I've always tried to do with my stuff, and I guess you have too, you know, from this is what I sense about you, is that it's important to put yourself in the mind of that person that you were, that you were when you were just starting out, you know?
Oh, and, yeah. Well, for me, it's D. Boone, you know. That's why I got into music. What was the first Livin' Shavin' L.A. gig like?
Oh, that's okay. So the first to Livin' Shavin' L.A. gig, well, it's a long fucking story, but in the 80s, I was in two bands. I was in this band with John Spencer and Julie Caperts and John Hamill called Pussy Galore.
Yep.
And I played the metal percussion for like the first 6 or 7 months of the band's existence. And then I left and were kicked out or whatever. We had this tour of America. It was not financially successful. And then I think they wanted me to do more, like, I don't know what happened, but I loved that band. We were really out there alone on a limb. But the we were touring with my other band, Peach of Immortality, which was like live tape manipulation and tabletop guitar, which wasn't really a thing back then, and nothing else, just the two of us improvising, and then Pussy Galore opening the show, right?
That guy, what was it called, AAM in London?
Say again?
The guy in London, AAM, he played his guitar on a tabletop,
an experimental group, right. Provost, I don't know those guys like I should. You know, I'm not the perfect noise kind of historian or anything. But
well, I read about it in a Rob Chapman book on Syd Barrett. I guess Syd Barrett was influenced by this band. You know, we're at the end of the first hour, Tom. January 7, 2021, edition of Pedro Show, special guest Tom Smith. Hold tight for hour two. January 7, 2021, it's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Precious, that's the bell. Surprise. Thank you. you're searching for. Oblivion, you're gonna search and search, you're gonna search for that oblivion, boy, you won't find it in. La 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 la, hey. Na 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 na, hey. Na 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 na, oblivion. Oblivion. Oblivion.
I'm happy with everything I do. I don't care how it looks. I'm just happy. I try any and everything. I'm that type of person. I like challenges. And believe it or not, just this year I graduated from the computer class they have here. I'm getting better. I'm getting there. I'm claiming everything as a yes. Thank you.
Watt from Pedro's show. We start off the second hour with Tom Smith doing Brutal Sense logo. Like you just took some words. Sam Bennett after that, The House of the Rising Sun, his take. Have you ever heard the Lead Belly version? It's nothing like the Animals, all sad and drawn out. It's kind of happy.
Yeah. You know, Lead Belly is something I got into at the university radio station where I cut some of that stuff that I sent you as well years and years and years ago. They had a really good double album compilation. I forget the label right now, but yeah.
John Fleming really got into that Lomax.
Oh man!
Right, archiving stuff, and I think Lead Belly was part of that. Alan Lomax.
Yeah, Don has introduced me. I mean, Don, I would go visit him at the archive. You know, whenever we for years when I would visit New York, you know, I would hang out with he and Margaret, you know, his wife, who's a really good friend also, and. He would take me. I saw the original wire recorders. We saw his original. You know, he just toured me around the place. I met Mr. Lomax's daughter Anna and the crew there. They're such great people. They are doing the work of the Lord there, man. I'm telling you.
Yeah, absolutely. I got to tell the people. They also heard Yonder from Tim Holehouse. He was on the show yesterday. Mary St. Mary with Oblivion. Mika Levi with Rough Dog. Everything as a Yes from David Greenberger and Prime Lens. And finally, Luckily Incurable by Rope Cosmetology.
Yeah.
Another project of yours. So tell me about this first gig for Live and Shave LA.
Well, I was going to say, you know, I was doing a band called Peach of Immortality in the 80s with, at the same time, doing also Pussy Galore. But I left Pussy Galore February of 86 or something, and I, you know, Peach started in 84, went to about 91, and then Don helped me get a deal with a label, Don Fleming helped me get a deal with a label called Noiseville, not that it had anything to do with noise, it was more like sludgy rock music, but they picked us, you know, and they wanted an EP from us, even though we'd been working on this album, and then the EP started, and the label said, well, what's the name of the Peach of Immortality? And I said, no, the name is now To Live and Shave in L.A. They're like, no, we're not going to do this unless you use the name Peach of Immortality. So we ended up being Peach again for like another 2 years, but not doing any gigs. But the music we were doing was like To Live and Shave in L.A.,
okay.
Which would eventually become.
Sure.
And Rat Bastard was not the first engineer, but I was recording at Rat Bastard Studio in Miami Beach.
He was on the show a couple of weeks ago.
That's right. Yeah, Rat's a fucking insane.
Yeah, great cat. I first learned about him through Brother Steve McKay, the Stooges sax man.
Yeah. And I know that he did a lot of work in his own studio. I mean, you should go to Rat's house in Miami Beach. He has a recording studio in his living room. It's insane. Literally a recording studio, you know, and it's well documented.
So this, are you saying your first Live and Shave in L.A.
What?
Gig was actually Peach of Immortality?
Yeah, because they wouldn't let us change the name. So we finished the EP, and the first song on the EP is one of those things I sent you, like, for you to listen to on the side, not for the show, right? And strangely enough, that was based on a loop or like a tape manipulation loop of a John Spencer Blues Explosion song from his first album back in 91 or something. So to bring it back to Pussy Galore for a second. But I really didn't want to call the new music Peach of Immortality, but the label insisted. But then the label went bankrupt and never wanted to. So the label died around August or September of 93. So the first show we did was October 93, right? And Rat wasn't even in the band, but Rat was the engineer and producer of the EP that finally, 2019, never released it.
Oh, wow.
It was, Rat did such an amazing job. The first in...
He told me he would work bass for you. I want to play Black Mountain Grown.
Yeah.
it to live in shame in L.A. and chumming at your roster boat. When the boat needs rocking on, it won't float. Plane needs hollering on, it won't fly. When the eagle's wings are broken and it falls from the sky. Don't tell me not to criticize, or don't tell me that my lips are loose. Don't tell me I don't love this place that gave me Lenny Bruce. When you're walking down the street like Malcolm X, or when you eat a nigga lunch and say, what comes next? A sweet black angel saying something ain't right. I can walk these streets into the night. I can walk these streets named for Joe or Ramon. I can think back on that gabba gabba. Hey, don't tell my brother what I love. Like Buddy Holly said, baby, that'll be the day. I wanna know his freedom fly head as it passed through you and me. Climbing to the flame. On the sea. Love America, does it love me? Does it love its people out on the street? Losing their homes desperately, working to make ends meet. And the rich get richer and the poor so poor. And you can't get sick cause you can't afford no healthcare on these mighty shores. Look at the old, what's in store? No money, no education, have a mill degree, and a first class nation knows the need. The knowledge is a situation, another cycle, another generation. On the TV, we're screaming at each other like kids in a schoolyard. It's embarrassing, brother. I'm a naive to say we gotta work together like a wave of a flag. It's gone forever. I wanna know his freedom fly head as it passed through you and me. Firing to the flame beyond the sea. Was supposed to be funny. Was it funny? Was it right on the money? Levity helps me through the pain, but it's a bulging at the seams and it's starting to strain. And I pledge allegiance to those that tried to find the truth when the country lied. Create beauty, leave hell behind. I guess Charles Mingus comes to mind. And don't wave that flag in my face when you're making this place a disgrace. Your global view needs rearranging, cause at times, my friends, they are a-changing. I wanna know it. Freedom fly head as it passed through you, you and me. Firing to the flame beyond the sea. I wanna know this freedom fly as it passed through you and me. Firing to the flame beyond the sea.
the flesh expose themselves as I am. I came out with Duke Duchess. Stupidly in wheels, as a woman charged the Duke of his good man, pumped his cleric, Nigarm, is a fool.
Watt from Pedro Show. Start off that chunk of music to Live and Shave in L.A. Black Mountain Grown for our child. And that's live. Pineapple Empress after that, Queen of the Angels. Snow from Troopa Troopa out of Gdansk. Morty with Western Motel intro. Hamel on Trial, Global Tattoo. The new Harnessians. I guess they wear harnesses.
I guess they do.
Scars into Stars, plus Dog Plus with Ship of Dreams 1, and finally, Coyote by Ona, which is another project of yours.
Coyote, yeah. Where do you want to start, Mike?
Well, you said that this song here, Black Mountain Grown, has a story behind it.
Oh, yeah. So, you know, I know that Rat played you this song from an album we did at Sonic Youth Studio in 2004, but it came out in 2006. This song called Mothers Over Silver Point. And Rat was, you know, his usual bullshit, like, I have no control over the lyrics. I don't authorize it, you know, whatever. But you and me are like the literate type. You like James Joyce too, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Most of the songs I wrote on Double Nickels, I wrote right after finishing Ulysses. I was 25 years old and just totally into that book.
Oh, man, that's, yeah. You know, my first job after high school was at a bookstore, and the older guy was like, you know, took me under his wing. I recognized that I was a freak. You know, he steered me in all the right directions, you know, from Henry Miller to Joyce to Jean Genet, because I was just a hick, you know. But I was literary as a hick, but I was still, you know, not so experienced, and he led me to all the right places, including Joyce. And Ulysses the first time was quite difficult, you know, and Finnegan's Wake was almost impenetrable. But when I read the Anthony Burgess book, Joyce Prick, maybe you know it, right, where he talks about the intense musicality of Joyce, that really opened my mind to all of it, you know. But anyway, this song that you played by To Live and Shave in L.A., Black Mountain Groan, not like coffee, but like groaning about because you're tired or sick or happy or something. But that's actually that song, Mothers Over Silver Point. We did it at this festival that Thurston, Mr. Moore, and Mr. Greer, Chris Greer, organized in 2005 as a protest against the second inauguration of Bush, you know, Mr. W., and that was Mothers Over Silver Point. That was an 18-minute song. But after the fact, I re-edited it to a 3-minute piece, the one you heard just now.
Yeah.
Piece sounds pretentious, I know, but like a 3-minute song. Because I could not remember 1 second of that fucking gig. And I wanted to ask you, as a performer who's done 67 month-long tours, are there times when you can't remember anything that you've done over that period of time when you get back
home?
Yeah.
I forget so much shit. It's so embarrassing. It's so embarrassing. This Proj, Ona, this is a German word, without, right?
Yeah, without, genau. That's right. I said genau. Sorry, that means absolutely correct. Yeah, so there's this guy who does, like, sort of neo-actionistic performance art named Dave Phillips. We met in 1996 when To Live and Shave and I in L.A. was playing in Paris. And his group, Schlimmflug Group, or Gruppe, whatever they're called. I think it's Schlimmflug Group. Anyway, he and Rudolf Eber, who was also part of that group, who's quite famous in those neo-actionistic circles, were doing their thing. And we just loved each other, became friends right away. And so Dave and I had always wanted to do something together, and Ona was the first thing we did together as a collaboration. And then two other guys, Daniel Luvenbrucke, Lion Bridge, right? Luvenbrucke, right. And Reto Mada, also from Switzerland. Daniel's from Berlin, Dave is from Zurich, and I was a hillbilly from South Georgia. You know, we became the group, and we rehearsed in a suburb of Zurich for about a month and a half, 2 months, and then went on a, 24-country tour of East and Central Europe, you know. And I sent you, as one of those extra tracks, I sent you a live recording from a show we did in Kaunas and Latvia, and then we also played Lithuania, sorry, or wherever the fuck it is.
That's Baltics. It's near Estonia, yeah. Where Skype comes from.
Yeah, I love that was a great tour. That was one of the best tours of my life with Ona, the first tour.
Oh,
and
great.
We did an album for this label called Mego, which was kind of sort of a hoity-toity electronic avant-garde label based out of Austria. And that piece, that short piece, was one of the tracks on our first album called Ona Eins or Ona One, you know.
Yeah, very interesting. Look, we're at the end of the second hour. January 7, 2021, Tisha Watt, Peter Show special guest, Tom Smith, hold tight for hour three. January 7, 2021, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Thank you. 僕は病身。
Thank you.
just paying my dues, wearing holes in an old man's shoes. Well, my knees are weak, there just ain't much left to lose. I'm so tired of being a stranger, I want to put the brakes on this old train. I want to lay me down and cry through all these things. It's like a blind leading the blind, I'm so lost within. Where of all the reasons to keep on moving, gone again. I made a deal with the devil's dog, baby. She showed me how to walk the log, and maybe showed her how to be my dog. Oh, now here we go again. I gotta drive all night just to find my way back home. Last night I called my mom on an old payphone. Well, the law's been looking for me. Don't they know they better let me be? Don't I know I got a list of sins nearly 5 miles long? Well, I can't stay long. You know the road won't let me be, but I can't stay gone, no. Your love's just waiting for me, and I can't stop pining about the way that you make me see. How the road's so long, but I can't stay gone too long. I've been drunk in a motel room down on the floor just crying the blues. I'm so tired of being a stranger, I want to put the brakes on this old train. I want to leave me down and cry through all these blues. It's like a blind leading the blind, so lost in sin. Where of all the reasons to keep on moving, gone again. I made a deal with the devil's dog, baby. She showed me how to walk the log, and maybe I showed her how to be my dog. Oh, now here we go again. Gotta drive all night just to find my way back home. Last night I called my mama on an old payphone. Well, the law's been a-looking for me. Don't they know they better let me be? Don't I know I got a list of sins nearly 5 miles long? Well, I can't stay long. You know the road won't let me be, but I can't stay gone. No, got true love just waiting for me. I can't stop pining about the way that you made me see. How the road's so long, but I can't stay gone too long. How the road's so long, but I can't stay gone too long. How the road's so long, but I can't stay gone too long. How the road's so long, but I can't stay gone.
Thank you.
for Pedro show start off the third hour with Fall is High. To Live and Shave in L.A. Crane Lounge Around. I am second hand of a clock from Foodie out of Osaka. Grand Champion, can I see you again? Double Beans, see you in Tijuana. Can't Stay Long from Scott H. Birum. And finally, Untitled 4, Peach of Immortality.
Oh, yeah.
People, this is the first incarnation of the Live and Shave in L.A.
That's right. Really early days, you know.
Now, you're talking to me from Germany, so how did you get to Germany?
Well, I was on this tour with To Live and Shave in L.A. in 2008. And remember MySpace before Facebook blew up and all that stuff? You know,
we called it My Waste of Space Place.
Yeah, it was pretty much a waste of space, but, you know, it was a social media platform back in 2005, 6, 7, 8, you know, and so I was communicating with the co-promoter of the gig via MySpace. Her name was Claudia, and she came to the show in Hanover, you know, and that was it, man. I mean, Cupid had a very sharp arrow, and he drove it right through my fucking guts, and I'm still with her today, you know. After the tour, I left America and came over here, you know.
That's what happened with Sam Bennett in Tokyo. He's been there 25 years.
I mean, it's hardcore, you know.
And he was from Birmingham, Alabama, yeah. Sun Ra town. Yeah. And he went and did a Lower East Side thing in Manhattan, Mr. Zorn's neighborhood. And then on tour, he met some. Yeah, okay, so that's what happened. And do you have, where you live, you're able to do music, right? You got, like, recording stuff?
Oh, man. I mean, a lot of the stuff you're playing, of course, when I was younger, that's just...
Yeah, you know, of course.
You're, like, commandeering radio station production studios to make the music and stuff like that, you know, just sort of cheating or using other people's equipment. But when you get older and you finally have a little bit of money, you know, you always find a studio. And I worked in a studio in Atlanta for quite a while, but I only recording shit that they hated, you know, because it wasn't their idea of what would be commercial. But when I came to Hanover, I found this guy through friends named Willy Dahmeyer, and he's got a great studio called The Institute. Dude, if you ever come over here after this COVID shit ever ends, we should jam at the fucking Institute. We should make a record together. That would be awesome.
At the Institute?
Is that
a college?
No, it's just a studio.
Oh, that's just the name of it. Okay.
But anyway,
I searched out the Kling Klang one in Dusseldorf. You know, it's real incognito.
Pretty classic.
I didn't go inside, but I was at the building.
I've been recording at the Institute now since about 2011, I guess. 10 or 11, yeah. And it's a great studio. So it's what I love very much.
And what's your most current... What's your most current... Proj, like, what are you spending your time making music as?
Okay, so there's about two, just two at the moment. There's To Live and Shave in L.A., and there's NH Meth. Not about New Hampshire methamphetamine. It's short for New Hope Methodist.
Oh!
This church in Missouri that put out all these children's Christian albums, but it turned out the minister of music was a pedophile or something, you know.
Oh, I thought you were referring to the little town of Methlehem. You there, Tom? Ah, shit.
Mm. So, 3, 2, 1. So, I've got two projects now. Tilly is still going. It's me and Rat, and the addition of Gretchen Ori. We call her Lurch X. And she's from Leeds in England, and she's in this really great band called Guttersnipe. And I met her 2 years ago in Köln, doing a show with a different band that I was working with at the time. And we became best friends, like, immediately. You know, it was great. She's fucking phenomenal, and she's the third member of the band now. And I also have NH Meth, which does not stand for New Hampshire Methamphetamine, but...
Yeah.
Refers to New Hope Methodist, this church in Missouri that made a lot of records in the 70s, you know, with like a children's ministry, but it turned out the minister of music was a pedophile.
Yeah, of course. That's Byron Coley is an expert in those kind of religious records and stuff.
I'm sure that Byron is quite specialized in this regard.
huge. I want to play Pussy Galore here.
Thank you. Thank you. Science major. My name is Ben Billiger and Chris Krauss. And I forget the other song. This is our next thing on Christmas and singing wild.
What'd you say?
Watt for Pedro Show.
You know, it's
final music for this edition, people.
Yeah.
Pussy Galore live, Cut Tease, Mike Cooper with Miniature Nine, Untitled from Tom Smith and Don Fleming. Sorry. How I Swam Across the Pond. University Challenge, my buddy AJ in Holland there.
All right.
And then Worthy of the Lamb, something live. This proj is called Boat Of?
Yeah, Boat Of, yeah.
What a name is Boat Of?
Well, it's a little Dada-esque, I guess, if you don't mind me saying that. It's those words, you know. I was writing a song back in like 1979 called Boat Of Three, but then I thought, okay, this band needs to be called Boat Of. I just cut off the three. And we were doing very fucking different music. We were in Athens, Georgia, you know, where B-52s were at the time. This is even before Pylon, I guess.
Yeah, I think they're called Bulldogs, right? It's a frat town.
You know what?
I realized that I went backwards. I played your oldest stuff last, and your most recent stuff first.
Hey, man, it's okay. You know?
Okay, so Boat Of was a Athens, Georgia band. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, what we were doing was a way fucking different, you know, and at the time we got some really insane responses. Again, not hyperbole, just people were losing their shit, as you can hear from that recording. Because hip-hop was new on record, right? I mean,
sure.
I know it had been going on with Kool Herc and, you know, Grandmaster Flash since the mid-70s, but nobody heard it until Rapper's Delight or maybe King Tim by the Fatback Band or something. Nobody had heard that shit yet, even though some records did come out besides Rapper's
Delight.
Yeah,
the Sugar Hill Gang stuff with Doug Winn.
Yeah, Sugar Hill Gang was big, right? But what I loved about hip-hop then was because most of it was coming out of studios with bands. So, like, the Sugar Hill Gang had the band that later became Mark Stewart's backing band.
That's right, you know? Mafia. Skip LeBlanc and Skip McDonald or something.
Skip McDonald, yeah.
And Doug Wimbish. And then Doug, I think, Wimbish. The mixer man was Adrian Sherwood. And this guy... Have you ever seen him mix? It's like he's playing an instrument at the gig.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy. I'm not so influenced by Adrian, but what I do love about that, I mean, when you listen to the NH Meth stuff or the new To Live and Shave thing, you know, the Only Commercial Lighting for Brackage album, which is about to come out.
Yeah.
I'm doing all the mixing on DJ equipment. I mix that shit live.
Ah, bitchin'.
And do it all in one take if I can, you know. And
I love it. I love it, man.
It gives it a really dirty sound, you know, and it retains that spirit of when you were 15, but you have a lot of flexibility at the same time. And I really like that sound a lot, you know.
Yeah, it's happening. Where can people find you on the internet, Tom?
Dude, there's so many sites. It's kind of counterintuitive, I guess, that they all sort of collide with each other, but. If you go to, if you just type in KSV SoundCloud, I'm sorry, KSV Bandcamp, there's like 500 fucking albums there. You know?
Okay, but there's no Tom Smith website?
Why? You know, there's a billion Tom Smiths. Who the fuck cares about Tom Smith?
Because having your own website is like having your own fanzine. There's nobody in between you and getting your stuff out.
No, I know what you mean. Let me give you the exact URL. Okay, one second. KSV. I don't even remember what it is. I've got so many of these goddamn things. If you type in KSV Bandcamp, that'll take you to something called, one second. Tom Smith, KSV.bandcamp.com.
Okay, Bandcamp, that's got your music and stuff like.
Yeah, it's got a shitload of.
And really this record, Only Commercial Lighting for Brackage. It's out right now, or is it just going to come out?
No, it's coming out in another week or so, yeah.
And then probably you're going to follow that up with some NH-meth.
There's a label in New Zealand that's doing most of my releases these days. They're called Independent Woman Records. They're available. Just type in Independent Woman Records New Zealand. They're doing the NH-meth cassette. They're doing a cassette that I recorded with the film director, Doris Wishman. She was my friend, and we did a lot of recordings together talking about her music, and that's coming out as a cassette. They're doing a triple CD of To Live and Shave.
Oh, man, that's great. Well, you know, when NH-meth comes out, will you come back on the show and we can talk about it? Because we ran out of fucking time right now. I'm sorry.
Mike, I would love to, because we're really psyched about that shit. And, dude, what a pleasure it is to talk to you. I'm a little stage, I got a little stage struck here.
No, it's okay, man. I think what you're doing is beautiful. I want you to keep on keeping up.
I told Evan to let you know that I listened to Dos about 6,000 times when it first came out.
I talked to Kay yesterday. I was upset yesterday. It was a fucked up day here in this country.
Oh, man. Yeah, I know. It was.
But, you know, I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful. But you come back on when you this NH-meth hits, okay? Real honor to have you on, Tom. Truly.
I would love to. It's such a pleasure to meet you, not in the flesh yet.
We will. I'll get to Hanover. People, it's been January 7th, 2021, edition of WAP Pedo Show. Keep your powder dry.